to the Word of God this morning, the letter of 1 John chapter 3. Letter of 1 John chapter 3. Go all the way back toward the book of Revelation, hang a left a few pages and you'll be there. 1 John chapter 3, verse 11. This is the message you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Verses 16 through 18 continue. This is how we know what love is, that Jesus Christ laid down His life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. And then verse 23. And this is His command, to believe in the name of His Son Jesus Christ and to love one another as He has commanded us. You know, one of the things that breaks my heart as a pastor is sometimes when I get reports or I hear about instances or I see for myself times when God's people don't treat others with love. When we don't treat our brothers and sisters and those of the family of God with love. Or we don't deal with people outside the church in a loving way with the love of Jesus. When we are not completely loving to new people in the church, those that we don't know very well, people who might not fit our expectations or conform to our standards, people who are different from us. You know, we can sometimes be too quick to judge. Sometimes we can be negative or critical instead of just loving and welcoming and accepting. Jesus said it so clearly to His disciples and hence to us in the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. He said, a new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. All men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Friends, this is the message that Christ taught. It's the command that He gave to the disciples, to the church, and to each of us. The command to love one another. And we are to demonstrate the love of Christ to everyone. And to live in love. To treat others always in a loving way. That we should be known. We should be known for our love. To always err on the side of love and grace. The greatest thing that the church, the greatest thing that our church can be known for is that we're loving people. Because Christ not only told us to love, He taught us to love, and He went all the way by demonstrating His love for us. He laid down His life. And He loved us unconditionally. How important is love to the Christian? I think it's the most important word in the Christian vocabulary. It's the most important act in the Christian life. It's the most important attitude in the Christian heart. The Bible speaks so much about love and teaches us to love. In 1 John, again, chapter 4, we were reading in chapter 3, but if you go a little bit further into chapter 4 and verse 16, John says, God is love. And whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. We all know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. God is love. God so loved. And 1 John 3:1, which may be my favorite verse in the Bible. I have lots of favorites. But it's certainly one of my favorites. 1 John 3:1 says, how great, somebody say great. How great is the love that the Father dribbled on us. No, it says, how great is the love that the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. And then I think about the words of Jesus in Mark chapter 12. I know I'm giving you lots of verses in succession here, and maybe your fingers can't keep up with my voice, but Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 31, it says, one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating, and noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this: hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Jesus could have stopped right there, but he knew he couldn't. And he said, the second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. For there is no commandment greater than these. And then I think of that great chapter that we call the love chapter. 1 Corinthians 13. Paul concludes in verse 13, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. The greatest of these is love. God is love. God so loved. His love for us is great. Love God and love one another. Love your neighbor of the greatest commandments. The greatest thing of all is love. In fact, love is so great that the Bible says if we don't have it, we have nothing at all. You see, Paul began that love chapter in 1 Corinthians 13 like this: if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong. Where's a drumstick? This is what I am. Woo. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, woo! And if I have a faith that can move mountains, but I have not love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. It puts it all into perspective, doesn't it? There's no substitute for love. There's no excuse for us not living in and treating others in love. There's simply nothing greater in the Christian life. There's nothing more important in living for Christ in this world than love. No matter what, love. If you do nothing else, love. Why do we do what we do? Love. When all else fails, love. Why are we here? Why do we reach out to others? Love. Why is everybody welcome here at Gateway? Love. The bottom line is, it's all about love. It's all about love. And that's the title of my message this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us. Lord, I don't think we can ever really, truly wrap our heads around it. How great it is. How wonderful. How unconditional your love is for each and every one of us. Lord, there is absolutely no reason that you should love me. But like that song says, but you love me anyway. But you told your disciples and you tell us, as I have loved you, love one another. Lord, I pray that you'll make us loving people and make this a loving church. Because that's what you've called us and commanded us to do. That is your will for us. Because it is all about love. Speak to us today, I pray, and call us to love. Lord, one more time, I ask for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to help me preach this message about love. In your love, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'd like us to, next few moments, go back to our opening scripture in 1 John chapter 3 and look a little bit more closely at what John has to say about love. I think the first thing that he's trying to tell us is that love comes first. Love comes first. In verse 11 of chapter 3, again he says, "This is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." This is what being a Christian is really all about. He said it's the message that we've heard all the way from the beginning. What is the message of Christianity? What is the message of Christ? It's the gospel. It's the good news of love and salvation that God has for everyone. No matter who we are, God is love. And He loves us. He loves you. He loves me. He loves everyone. Do you know that there are some people hard to love? Anybody ever run into anybody that's hard to love? Have you ever been hard to love? I have. But yet, God loves us. God loves you and me. And He calls us to love one another. You know, recently, I've been preaching about the Great Commission. We talked about it in our missions presentation a moment ago. The Great Commission of Christ in Matthew 28, that we are to go into all the world and preach the gospel and to make disciples of every nation. That is the mission that Christ has put us on, to go into the world, to share that good news. That's the Great Commission, but here is the Great Commandment. We have the Great Commission, and here is the Great Commandment. The commission is to go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples, to do missions, to share the message of Christ. But the Great Commandment is also part of that very same mission, and it is to love. To love. You see, why do we preach? Why do we witness? Why do we testify? Why do we share Jesus with people? Why do we invite people to church? Why do we support missions? It's because we love. Love is the reason. Love is the foundation. Love is the reason that we want to share the love of Christ to everyone across the street and around the world. That God is love and He wants us to love others. He wants to love us to love each other as He loves them with His love. And John said it's a message of love that goes all the way back to the beginning. Think about it, the very beginning of the story. God's love for His creation. For Adam and Eve. That when He created them, the Bible says that every day He went into the garden and He fellowshiped with them. He communed with them. He walked with them. He talked with them. He loved on them because He loved His creation. And because He loved His creation so much, He was broken when they disobeyed and they sinned. And because of His great love, He could have written them off, but because of His great love, He said, even though they sinned, even though they broke My heart, even though they severed the fellowship, even though sin came into the world, God said, I have a plan. I have a way that I'm going to save them. I'm going to renew them. I'm going to restore them. A way for them to have eternal life once again. For us to have that same communication, communion, that same fellowship, that same relationship. And because of God's love, He didn't leave them where they were in sin. But He then came up with a plan that led to sending His own Son, Jesus Christ. So the message goes all the way back to the beginning of the gospel when Jesus Christ came and He was nailed to the cross for us because of His love. It's from the beginning of the story of Jesus. He was all about love. The beginning of the church, the reason the church exists, the Great Commission and the Great Commandment to demonstrate and to live out the message of Christ's love to the world. That's what it's all about. That's why we're here. That's why we unlock the doors. That's why we turn on the lights. That's why we turn on the air conditioning. That's why we're here today, is because of the love of Christ that is too good to keep to ourselves, that we want to share it not only with one another here, but we want to share it with everybody out there. What Jesus has done for you, He can do for others. Love is the essence of the message of the gospel, that Jesus loves you. How many remember, it goes back a few years now, David Wilkerson and the cross and the switchblade. How many remember that? You ever read the book or you saw the movie that they made from the book, Cross and the Switchblade? I love that movie. And I'll never forget, I think one of my favorite scenes, I got a couple favorite scenes, but one of them is definitely this one, where David Wilkerson, and if you know the story, that he was a young preacher from Pennsylvania back in 1958, and God put on his heart after he saw a newspaper article about some gang members who were in trouble in New York City. This country preacher went to New York City and he began to minister to the street gangs in New York. Because of the love that Christ had put in his heart for these individuals. In this powerful scene, David Wilkerson is on the street and he's trying to tell the gang leader named Nicky Cruz about Jesus. He's witnessing to Nicky Cruz, this tough gang member. And Nicky doesn't want to have anything to do with it. He doesn't want to hear this stuff. And so the scene is, they're on the street corner and David Wilkerson is sharing the gospel with Nicky Cruz, and Nicky pulls out his switchblade. And he flicks the blade open and he puts it up to David's throat. And he said, "Preacher, get out of my face. I don't want to see you anymore. I don't want to hear about your Jesus anymore. I don't want to have anything to do with you anymore. Leave me alone. Stay away from me or I'm going to cut you. I'm going to kill you." And only with the courage of the Holy Spirit, only with the love of Jesus, David Wilkerson looks Nicky in the eye with the tip of a switchblade in his throat. David looks at Nicky and he says, "Yeah." He says, "You could kill me. In fact, he said, you could cut me into 1,000 pieces right now. But I just want you to know that every one of those pieces will still cry out, Nikki, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Nikki backed off, closed up his switchblade, put it in his pocket. He had no answer for that. Somebody with the courage and the love facing death can look him in the eye and still say, and every one of those pieces will still cry out the same truth that Jesus loves you. What a powerful scene. Friends, we're not here to give people religion. We're not here just to give them church or doctrine or theology. We're here to give people love. To offer them the unconditional love of Jesus. I want people to feel our love. I want people to be able to say, I feel loved at Gateway. Those people love me just the way I am. Love is the most important quality that we can ever have. In fact, it's something that every one of us can have. Showing love is something every one of us can do. You don't need to have great speaking ability to love somebody. You don't need to have super Bible knowledge to love somebody. You don't need to have years of experience in the church to love somebody. You don't need to have great gifts and talents and ability to love somebody and to show them that you care with the love of Jesus. It's the greatest thing that people will feel from you and know about you. And if you don't love them, they'll feel that too. You see, friends, it doesn't matter how much else you know. It doesn't matter what you can do, how long you've been around. It doesn't matter what you've achieved. It doesn't matter how important or spiritual you think you are. Without love, it doesn't matter. Can I say that my goal as the pastor of this church is that no one, somebody say no one, no one would leave the church. No one would come and visit and not come back because they didn't feel completely loved by the people at Gateway. Not that they would know how much we serve the church, how much we give in the offering, how many services we attend, how loud we sing, how long we pray, how much we speak in tongues, if we can prophesy, how many scriptures we can quote, but how much we love. That's what I want them to know. How much we care. How much we love. It's all about love. And then the next thing that John points out to us is actually the opposite of love. The opposite of love. He tells us how great the message of love is, that it's the message that we've heard from the beginning that we should love one another. But then he talks about the opposite of love. Look at the next couple of verses in 1 John 3. He says, do not be like Cain. If you remember the story in the Old Testament of Cain and his brother Abel, do not be like Cain who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Jump down to verse 15. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. You see, John makes two very important points here about love. And he uses Cain and Abel and their story from the Old Testament as examples. The first point is that Cain and Abel, although they were brothers, they were exact opposites. And secondly, that Cain was a murderer and he killed his brother Abel. Cain and Abel were examples of spiritual opposites, even though they were in the same family. Can we say that Cain and Abel even went to the same church? They attended church together. I know I'm stretching a little bit to make a point. But they both claimed to know God, didn't they? But only one was really like God. The other served the enemy. One was obedient and righteous. The other one was disobedient and evil. One gave of himself. The other was self-seeking and self-serving. One loved. The other operated without love. In fact, John said he hated. Even though they were in the same church together, the same family together, they were opposites. Cain was a murderer. He killed his own brother. You know, the sixth commandment that God gave to Moses was, you shall not kill or you shall not murder. And maybe you'll say, wait a minute, Pastor, just a minute. Just a minute. I don't hate anybody. I haven't killed anyone. But what if we use a biblical definition of hate and kill? You see, the biblical definition of hate is to not love somebody as we should. To not speak to them in love. To not give love. To not show true love. What if we have a biblical definition of murder? Of killing, which is causing hurt or pushing somebody away or taking or stealing life from somebody? You know, the fact is there's many ways to hate and to kill. I'll say that again. There's a lot of different ways to hate and to kill. Jesus himself said it this way in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. He said, you've heard it said that you've heard that it was said to people long ago, do not murder or do not kill. And anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you, that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. And anyone who says to his brother, Raca, which was a term of contempt, is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says to you, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Jesus redefined hate and murder. And there's lots of ways to hate and to kill. But the point is, we must be careful how we speak to one another. We must be careful how we act toward one another, how we act to others. When we speak harshly, unkindly, when we judge, when we criticize, when we act unlovingly, when we hurt somebody with our words and with our attitudes, a little piece of them dies. We may not realize the power of our words, of our actions, of our attitudes, and what we're doing to others. And when we don't act out of and in the love of Jesus, a little piece of that person dies. When we use quick, uncaring, unloving words, when we gossip about people, when we betray a confidence, when we show disrespect, when we don't take the time, when we don't listen to one another, when we're quick to pass judgment or to give criticism, when we don't forgive, when we just point out failures and mistakes, or we remind people of their past. Yeah, I heard about you. I know what you did. I know where you're from. Anybody receiving any of this? When we point out people's failures, and you want to point out my failures and mistakes, you can be here all day. When we remind people of their past, when we make somebody look bad or we make fun of them, especially in front of others, when we point out differences, when we look down on people, when we make someone feel small or unimportant, or we question how they look or how they dress, or we turn up our nose at people, what are we really doing? What are we really doing? We're murdering. We're killing. We're killing them one little piece at a time. We're hating them one word, one look, one act, one attitude at a time. Friend, don't rob somebody of life. Don't steal life from somebody by not speaking in love or showing them the complete, sincere, unconditional love of Jesus for them that He's shown for you. How would we feel if Jesus treated us the same way that we treat others? And then John goes so far as to say that our love even affects our eternal life. In other words, love is life. And when there's no love, there's no life. Oh, we must be careful to not turn people away from Jesus. Not turn them away from the church, away from the family of God, but rather to point them to Jesus by our love and turn them toward God and His people with our love. We need to be careful that you not rob yourself of all that God has for you and wants to do in you and through you. Don't miss what God has planned for you, but let Him use you to bless others, both in and outside of the church, by your love. Do you want life? Do you want life? Love. Do you want life? Love. Do you want to give life to others? Love. Love. Because it all comes down to, it's all about love. My friend, if you are a Christian, if you call yourself a Christian, you must be a loving person. You must be someone who loves. And this must always be a church filled with people who love. I'm going to say that again. This must always be a church filled with people who love. This must be a place where everyone is loved, no matter what, no matter who they are. Everyone should know and feel the love of Jesus here, but they're not going to feel it in the building. They're not going to feel it in the programs or the ministries. They're going to feel it in you. They're going to feel it in you and in me. We must offer and demonstrate to everyone here, to everyone who comes through those doors, the love and the acceptance and the welcome of Jesus. Are you doing that? For there's nothing more powerful than God's people who love. And there's nothing more attractive to others than being loved here by each of us. The message of the Bible is God loves you. God loves you. How awesome is that? How incredible is that? God loves you. I hope that each one of you here today, I hope that you know that God loves you. I hope you know that. Before you were even born, God was already thinking of you. And He was thinking in love. And He's been loving on you ever since. He's been loving you ever since. I don't know. Maybe you've been hurt in church. Maybe there's been times that you've felt unloved by Christians. Because sometimes that happens. It shouldn't, but it does. But can I encourage you? Don't let the faults of a few keep you from the truth. That Jesus loves you and He died for you. And I truly hope that you feel God's love for you here in this place from each one of us. But my question is, have you received God's love for you? Have you received His love? I want to pray. And then I want to invite you. If you're just feeling unloved, you're struggling in your life, in your relationship with God, sometimes we can feel like God loves everybody else but us. I want to invite you to come to the altar. I'd like to pray with you to receive God's love for you. God has a wonderful plan and a purpose for your life. And He's here for you today. Heavenly Father, I thank You. I thank You, Lord, for Your love for each and every one of us. Lord, that You do indeed love us just the way we are. No matter who we are. No matter what we look like. No matter where we've been. No matter what we've done. You love us just the way we are. Lord, You don't want us to stay there. You want to change us. You want to make us better. And I pray right now by the Holy Spirit that You would just move amongst everybody that is here in this sanctuary and that You'll just love on them. That You'll let them know and feel and receive Your love for them today. And if there's anybody here that maybe has never opened up their heart and their life to You, they've never really understood or they've never received or accepted Your love for them. They've never opened up their life to You and turned over their life to You and invited You, Jesus, into their heart to forgive them of their sins, to give them a new life, to make them a brand new person in Christ, to live in that love that You have for them. I pray that You would just call them. Lord, that they would respond to that love. That they would receive You today. And that they would come forward to this altar and allow Me to pray with them to receive You. Or maybe there's somebody here that they're just struggling. They're a Christian. They've accepted You, but they're struggling with Your love. They're going through something in their life that they're just having a hard time turning it all over to You and living in Your love. I pray that they too would respond to You and come forward and allow me or someone here to pray with them. Thank You for Your love, God. Lord, make us loving people. Make this a loving church. I pray, Lord, that every single person that ever comes onto this property will feel the love of Jesus. every single person that ever walks through these doors. God, let us lay aside anything and everything that would keep us from completely loving. And let them feel Your love through us, Your people. And there's nothing more powerful, and there's nothing more attractive than a group of people who love. Lord, if You're going to grow this church, You're going to do it through loving people. Because You are a God of love. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, that they will know that we follow You by our love. In Jesus' name I pray. Is there anybody here you'd like to slip out of where you're sitting? You'd like to come forward and allow me to pray with you? Maybe to receive the love of Jesus, or maybe you're going through a struggle or something I can pray with you about? Stu's going to put on a song. Is there anybody here you'd like prayer today? I'll bless you.
He is jealous for me.
Praise God.
Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of His wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful You are and how great Your affections are for me. And oh, how He loves us. Oh, oh, how He loves us. Us all. And He is jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. to meet you in this place and see you face to face. Will you show me? Reveal yourself to me because of your mercy. And I can feel your pain.